sun, we've hung up tarps. Under them lie all the people we've saved from the raft. We can't care for so many people on this ship for very long. She only has 3 bathrooms, and while we can purify seawater for drinking, the process takes ages. Even with the tank we refilled at the port, there's not enough water for this many people to wash and do their laundry regularly. What is more, those sleeping on the boat deck have to make do with just 1 blanket. It's not comfortable there. Either you fold the blanket as a mattress and freeze all night, or you wrap yourself in it to keep warm. But before long, every part of your body touching the PVC-tiled floor will be aching. All around us, the sea sparkles, and the small waves break against the hull of the boat. Sea-Watch 3 is an old offshore supply vessel from the 70s, once used by the oil industry, before falling into the hands of Médecins Sans Frontières, before she was finally acquired by Sea-Watch, using donations from their supporters. In short, a big ship that requires a lot of maintenance. She does the job, of course, but I don't like her very much. The truth is that, under different circumstances, I wouldn't be here. This year, I wasn't planning to embark on any missions, the Sea-Watch term for rescue operations. Not that I haven't spent some years at sea, mainly as a navigating officer on board large research vessels in the Arctic, and also with Greenpeace. But then I did a master's degree in environmental conservation, and, when I finished, I wanted to concentrate on protecting the natural world. To be honest, I've never been a seafaring enthusiast, and after dedicating a few years to my profession, I felt it was more important to fight for the preservation of our biosphere. But my nautical knowledge came in handy when I started collaborating with Sea-Watch and other rescue NGOs doing something that I consider essential: saving lives. A few short weeks ago, I received an email telling me that the captain of a rescue mission due to start in the next few days had fallen ill. At the time, I was busy in Scotland, where I was working as a trainee on a conservation program. What we were doing, basically, was collecting data on butterflies, maintaining the hiking trails, and most recently, when torrential rains fell, spending 3 days in the greenhouse transplanting Scots pines. The landscape in that part of Scotland is beautiful. Steep slope mountains cloaked with dark, mossy hoods, where the smell of wet meadows combines with